The fourth pairing, the Gemara Pesachim,
starts
off with the halacha of Isur Melacha on Erev Pesach. The Mishnah says that it depends what the Minhag HaMakom is. If the Minhag HaMakom is that the people allow Melacha, then they're permitted to do Melacha. The Minhag HaMakom is that they don't do Melacha, then they're not permitted to do Melacha. The fourth pairing, the Gemara Pesachim, starts off with the halacha of Isur Melacha on Erev Pesach. The Mishnah says that it depends what the Minhag HaMakom is. If the Minhag HaMakom is that the people allow Melacha, then they're permitted to do Melacha. The Minhag HaMakom is that they don't do Melacha, then they're not permitted to do Melacha on Erev Pesach. What is the issue? So in Shulchan Aruch they present it like this. Eftach Hatzos, we assume that it's certainly forbidden to do Melacha on Erev Yom Kippur. The question whether this is an Issur in HaTorah or an Issur in the Rabbanon. Rashi says it's an Issur in the Rabbanon. Rashi and Daf Nun and Aleph says it's an Issur in the Rabbanon. Kidei shelo yehi Torah b'melacha. He shouldn't be busy taking a haircut or cutting his nails. It says in Shulchan Aruch that every other Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Kippur, if you can take your haircut or cut your nails, Eftach Hatzos. In Erev Pesach, you should be careful. Take care of it before Chatzos. If a person didn't take the haircut before Chatzos, is he allowed to take it after Chatzos? Aidei Nochri, it's a machloikis, and usually we make it. But Mechatchila, the person should be careful to take the haircut before Chatzos on Erev Pesach. To cut the nails as well. It's hard to get a Nochri to cut your nails. So that's what they say, you should be careful to cut your nails and take the haircut before Chatzos. So after Chatzos is forbidden. So Rashi says it's also because Erev Pesach, everybody's busy shechting the Korban Pesach, baking the matzahs. It's Rashi's opinion, you have to bake the matzahs in Erev Pesach. He doesn't make it simple, suggests that everybody's busy baking the matzah. He says you have to be finished burning the chametz before. By us, you have to be finished burning the chametz before because we have to say kol chamira. We have a minig that the Rosh introduced that we say a separate kol chamira. We cannot say the kol chamira after the zman isa hamor. Let's say I'll say the kol chamira before. I'll say any chametz, whether I saw it, I didn't see, should be bottled, kafadar, the whole works with the exception of this chametz. And then I'll burn this chametz b'tchila sheish, between 11 and 12 in the morning. Is that okay? So the case of Mishnah and the Rambam, the end of Perek Aleph, and Nechos Chametz and Matzahs, Mesupik, how to translate the Mishnah? Whether the Mishnah is to be taken literally, we serve from b'tchila sheish, you burn the chametz at the beginning of the Shosh Shishu. So no, you're not allowed to wait till then. It's like keeping your chametz midirabbanon, we declare sheish at 11 o'clock as if it's ready after chatzos. You're not allowed to hold the chametz till after chatzos. You have to destroy the chametz before chatzos. See, here too, that's how we usually assume you have to burn your chametz before it comes 11 o'clock. Though this year it's 10:35 or something. 10:30, 10:35 is the Sovzman that is mutted to be nana from the chametz. So we assume you have to burn the chametz before. So it's a very strange Rashi on Daf Nun that Rashi says, on Erev Pesach after chatzos, everybody's busy burning the chametz. After chatzos, they're burning the chametz. It's very strange.
Are you allowed to be nana for that fire that you burn the chametz?
The Gemara talks about that, beginning of the second paragraph.
Because unless it's cold, and you want to warm your hand or something like that, while it's roasting, you can blow something like that.
During this man, Isur HaNoah, you're allowed to be men, the Gemara talks about it. What's the din? Mutar b'Hanoah, the Shabbos, if you burn the chametz at a time that it's also b'Hanoah, which we usually don't do. So let's say if you'll be burning the chametz after 10:35, at the time that it's also b'Hanoah, would you be allowed to warm your hands at the time? So Tosfos says in the beginning of the second parak that it depends on the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, how do you have to dispense of your chametz? If you say that ain't bear chametz all of this ready for, there's a machlekes in Rishonim, where you pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that you can only fulfill tashbisu by burning the chametz, so you can fulfill tashbisu by hashbasas of the chodava, destroying in any fashion. So if the only way to fulfill tashbisu is by burning it, then we have a mishnah at the end of Tmura, the kol anisrofin afra mutar, that at the time that you burn it, becomes mutavano. But if you hold like the Rabbana, the Rabbi Yehuda, that Hashbasa says b'chol davar, so then it's not an anisrofin, then I should say that you're not permitted to be nani. So that's how Tosfos says, the Gemara starts off assuming like that. Then the Gemara says, no, but even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kvalan, so often Afra Muta means if there has already been converted into Afra. But at the time, while you're burning it, the Gemara says you're not permitted. That's how Tosis interprets the Gemara. At the time that you're burning it, you're not permitted to be an from it l'chol adam. But here is our Rashi and the Mishnah daf Nun Amud Aleph, that you're not permitted to do Malach and Erev Pesach after Chatzos in the afternoon, after 12 o'clock, midirabbanan, because everybody has to be busy taking care of the Pesach b'gachonis. So nobody should be in the office doing their business or anything. Everybody has to stop doing business at 12 o'clock and start making hachonis. So that's what Tosis says, the Gemara starts off assuming like that. Then the Gemara says, no. But even according to Rabbi Yudah, Kolan, so often Afra Muta means if there has already been converted into Afra. But at the time, while you're burning it, the Gemara says you're not permitted. That's how Tosis interprets the Gemara. At the time that you're burning it, you're not permitted to be an from it, l'chol adam. But here is our Rashi and the Mishnah and Daf Nun Amud Aleph, that you're not permitted to do Malach and Erev Pesach after Chatzos in the afternoon, after 12 o'clock, midirabbanan, because everybody has to be busy taking care of the Pesach b'gachonis. So nobody should be in the office doing their business or anything. Everybody has to stop doing business at 12 o'clock and start making hachonis for Yom Kippur. Tosis disagrees with Rashi and says that's not the reason. Tosis quotes a Yerushalmi that it has to do with the Hakrovas Korban Pesach. And even though Bizman Hazeh, we don't have any Beis Hamikdash, nobody's bringing the Korban Pesach, but the fact that the Torah is mechayiv us to bring a Korban Pesach, an Erev Pesach in the afternoon, true, the Maisa were unable to fulfill it, but the fact that there is a Chiyuv Korban, that itself indicates that there should be an Issur Malach. Because the fact that if we are required to bring a korban on Shabbos and Yom Tov is an indication of the fact that those days, you have to bring a korban musaf on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, that's an indication that those days have a Kedushas Hayom over and above the other Yemos HaChol. And that's why those days are Asur B'Melacha. So the Yerushalmi says that whenever one is required to bring a korban, this should be an indication of the fact that there's a Kedushas Hayom, and you shouldn't be permitted to do any Melacha on that day. So the Yerushalmi asks, Tosis says, when Yerushalmi, it sounds like it's a real din d'oraisa. Sounds like this din of not doing Malach or Pesach after 12 o'clock is a real din min haTorah. It's not a din of the Rabbah. Then the Yerushalmi asks Akash, if so, so should we have Gam Siyo Yom Tov? Because Klal Yisrael offer a Korban Tomid every day, a Tomid Shal Shach and a Tomid Shal Bin Havak. So the Yerushalmi asks Akash, so the Jewish people shouldn't be allowed to do Malach at any day, the weekday, Shabbat, all year long, because the Karbonis Tzibah are offered on behalf of the whole Tzibah. So everybody is being marked with a Korban. So it should be an indication of the fact that there's a Kedushas Hayom, every day is holy. Yeah, true, the Rabbanu Shalom created the world, and he created time, and anything that he creates is holy. So he created every day of the year, and every day of the year should be holy, it should be awesome. And the Yerushalmi says, no, that's Exeris HaKosov, Shiny Tomid, that's an exception to the rule of the Tomid, because it says, V'yasavta Digonecha. V'im Kol Yisrael Yoshimu V'teilim, if all the Jews will observe the Yisrael Melacha, so who's going to do the V'yasavta Digonecha? So if the Yerushalmi says, you see that we're working on a real din d'oraisa, it sounds like, unless you say everything is an asmachta. But Tosis says, from the Yerushalmi it would appear that everything that we're discussing is a real din d'oraisa. So to forbid malacha every day of the year, because of the fact that we bring a korban tomid, that's impossible. But on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, that you bring a korban, you're obligated to bring a korban Pesach, even if l'maisa we are unable, b'zman hazeh, to bring the korban Pesach, because we don't have any Beis Hamikdash, but still, the fact that there is a chiv to bring a Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach after Chatzos, is an indication that that part of Erev Pesach after Chatzos has a Kedusha Sayyom, and the Kedusha Sayyom forbids Malacha. That's what Tosis says.
That is the same with Pesach Sheni?
I don't know. It's a good question. For those people who have to bring a Korban Pesach Sheni, they should be forbidden from doing Malacha, maybe.
What about Rosh Chodesh? But no Kedusha Sayyom?
Kedusha is a problem. Yeah.
Is there a Kedusha Sayyom or Pesach Sheni?
Is there a Kedusha Sayyom?
But you can't do it's also with Malacha.
So that's what he tines. You should say that those who have to bring a Pesach Sheni are forbidden. I don't know. They should be forbidden from Malacha. I don't know what the din is. The Mishnah Brura points out that
it's busy like practice.
Not so hard.
The Mishnah Brura points out that he thinks there's a major difference between Rashi and Tosfos in the following instance. Let's say Erev Pesach, the actual Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So when is everybody going to be busy to make their last minute preparations, toteling the kelim and running and shopping on Friday afternoon? So he thinks in the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Brura writes that according to Rashi, that the reason why Erev Pesach after Chatzos, one is forbidden from doing malachas is because he has to be busy taking care of all the hakonos for Pesach. So on the Friday before Erev Pesach, he should be also to do malach. He has to go home from his office then also.
But he's not going to bring the korban Pesach on Erev Pesach.
According to Rashi. No, but according to Rashi. Rashi says that the reason for the Yisra Malacha is because of the last minute preparations for Yom
Kippur. What's the last minute preparations? Part of it is Korban Pesach.
Part of it is Korban Pesach. But let's say Bizman Hazeh, we don't have a Korban Pesach, so everything else are the preparations. Buying the food and buying, cooking, whatever is necessary to prepare for Yom Kippur. So according to Rashi, the Mishnah Guru writes, when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, he thinks that one should be forbidden from doing Malacha on that Friday afternoon after 12 o'clock. Whereas according to Tosfos, that has nothing to do with the last minute preparations. His wife and his children will take care of the preparations. And the reason for the Yisra Malacha is because either it didn't arise or an asmachta, that you're obligated to bring the Korban Pesach then, and that creates a Kedushas Hayom, and that here for the day. So that only applies on the actual day on which you're obligated to bring a Korban Pesach. So what's Halacha L'maisa? So the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Mishnah Berurah, he thinks that since according to Tosfos, they say that maybe it's a Din D'Oraisa. According to Rashi, clearly it's only a Din D'Rabbanan. So he says, since it's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, and the worst it could be is a Din D'Rabbanan, so he thinks that's Sfeika D'Rabbanan L'Kul. So he's making that if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you don't have to stop working on Friday afternoon at 12. But on a regular Pesach like this year, if Pesach is on a Monday, then it's a real din, either a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan, that one is forbidden from doing malacha, and Erev Pesach after chatzos. What about Erev Pesach in the morning? So that already depends in makom shenagu. So the Gemara, that's the parak makom shenagu. So the Gemara says makom shenagu anun hay mer aleph. The Gemara says another mishnah. Makom shenagu not to do malacha all day long. It's a minig. Makom shenagu only not to do malacha in the afternoon. That minig is also fine. What is the minig by us? So the Ramah who lived in Poland claims the Ramah lived in Krakow. He says the minig is that you don't do malacha all day. Nobody goes to the office all day on Erev Pesach. And the Achronim quoted by the Mishnah Berurah say that they don't know where. But he was Ramah, I think, was a shamus in a shul. No? They don't know what he did for a living, but if their minig is not so. That the minig other in Poland, in Krakow, in the days of the later Achronim, the minig was that they did do malacha on Erev Pesach in the morning, just Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Efter Chatzos, that's a real din, either a din menator, a din menorabon, one is forbidden from doing malacha. That's the Gemara. Erev Pesach in the afternoon, there's another halacha that one Rachman al-Tan who is sitting Shiva, one who is observing Shloshim, so when it comes Chatzos of Erev Pesach, the Ramah at the end of Yerdei Pascha is at the Abela Senes. By another, Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif, the dinners at the Abelas has to be observed up until Shabbos or up until Yontif. But on Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, we treat it like a Yontif. That's why Tosfos claims that it's also in the Malacha in our Torah. So we consider it like a Yontif, so we say that no Avelos is not. What if it will be in the... That's a Machlokes though. It's a Machlokes between Tosfos and the Yer Zeruah. Right. Tosfos in Zvachim says explicitly that there is Avelos. Tosfos talks about Avelos. They hold explicitly that there is Avelos on Erev Pesach after Chatzos like every other. Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif after Chatzos. Just the Yer Zeruah says that there's no Avelos, that we treat Erev Pesach after Chatzos like a Yontif, like this Yerushalmi, because you bring the Korban Pesach. So the Ramah, Paschas Lahakel, because whenever there's a shaila in Hilchas Avelos, whenever there's a Sofi, we have no hachros, so we go to Kula Halacha B'Dibra Amelka Bor. What if it would be the reverse? Let's say the Kfur is Erev Pesach Efta Chatzos. The Kfur, someone is down to God, the Kfur takes place Erev Pesach Efta Chatzos. So if you say that you don't begin to sit Shiva because it's a Yontif like Chalamoid, let's say there's a Levaya on Chalamoid, a Yontif, you don't begin to Shiva till after Yontif, so the Avelim lose out. So it's better for them that they should, if they're interested, it's better for them that they should begin the Shiva, unless they want to sit Shiva. But let's say they don't want to sit Shiva. So it's better for them to begin the Shiva and Erev Pesach after Chatzos, and then sit Shiva a little bit, and then the Yontif should come and break it. Because the Yontif only breaks the Shiva if the person began the Niyog of Shiva. So there, it's generally assumed Lohakel in favor of the Yogel, that if he chooses that he does want to sit Shiva and Erev Pesach after Chatzos, so we say like Tosfos, we follow Tosfos' opinion, that he does sit Shiva, and then when it comes Pesach, then it cancels the Shiva. Because it's a machlek, it's Tosfos in the Ozeruch. Well, there are Pesach after Chatzos, there is Avelos in it. So we go to Hakel to accommodate ourselves, whenever it's better for us. The Gemara in Erechin on Daf Yud speaks about Hallel on the various Yom Tovim. So the Gemara in the Bavli only lists off the days on which we recite Hallel in the daytime. The Bavli doesn't mention anything about reciting Hallel on the night of Pesach. Of course, the Mishnah in Ari Pesachim speaks about reciting the Haggadah. So we recite part of the Hallel before the meal and part of the Hallel after the meal. There's a Machlokes, B'Shamay, B'Sivo. How much of the Hallel is to be recited before the meal and how much is to be recited after the meal? So that Hallel that we recite before and after the Korban Pesach, Bizman HaMikdash, before and after the Sudas Pesach, Bizman HaZeh, is mentioned in the Mishnah. That's Mefurish. But the Shad is, what about the Halal and Shul? So in the Babli, it's not mentioned at all. So this is quotes from the Yerushalmi and from the Masechah Seferim, that they had a practice to recite Halal so many days a year. 18 days a year, 21 days a year, depending on the Sola Chutzlar, you say 2 days Yantar, you say the Halal. So many days a year, you say Halal Shalom, and the first 2 days of Pesach, and the 2 days of Shavuos, and the 8 days of Chanukah, and Sukkot, every day you say Halal. 8 days, or 9 days of Sukkot, you say Halal. And the Rishami adds on, and you also say Halal another night or 2 nights. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you say Halal on the first night of Pesach, and you live in Chutz Lord, you say Halal the first 2 nights of Pesach and Shul before you go home. What is this Halal all about? So the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, from the Balei HaTosfos, who said that this Halal was for the Amoratzim, for the people who have to say Halal before and after the meal on Pesach night. And they don't know how to read the Ibra, they don't have a Haggadah. They don't have a Haggadah. They have a Haggadah, they don't know how to read it. They're going to make mistakes saying no, they're saying the Ibra. So it's better to say the Halal in Shul and have the Chazan say the Halal, the whole Halal out loud. If you might see everybody who doesn't know, but the Ramah says, Bizman Azeh. The Ramah writes that Kolona Chachamim, Kolona Nevodim, Kolona Zekeinim, everybody knows how to read Ibra with Nekudas. So we all have our goddess, and we can all say the Halal, a little bit of the Halal before the Surah, a little bit of the Halal after the Surah. So the Ramah says there's no need to say the Halal in Shul. And that's the practice by Ashkenaz, that they don't say the Halal in Shul. But the Mechaber doesn't hold up. The Mechaber also knew how to read Ibra with Nekudas, and he also had a Haggadah. And he says, no, that the Minik Sfard is that they say the Halal in Shul in Eretz Yisrael on the first night of Pesach, and the Chutzlot on the first 2 nights of Pesach with a bracha. Say the bracha before and after the Halal. That it's a chiyuv, it's a takonas chacham to recite Halal on Pesach night. In Shul, in addition to the Halal that you say by the Haggadah, there's a takonah to recite a separate Halal. That's what the Mechaber quotes as the Pashtus of the Yerushalmi. The Babli doesn't mention it, but it's mentioned in the Yerushalmi, the Masechah Sefer. Masechah Sefer is not from the Gemara. Masechah Sefer was composed by the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. So it's the same as the Yerushalmi.
Right.
Yerushalmi and Masechah Sefer is the same source.
Right. Sometimes Halal it says Shir HaChadosha, and sometimes it says Shir Chodosh. One time it's Moshe Zohar, one time it's Moshe.
Right. Tosfos discuss. That's a good topic. Tosfos discusses that.
We don't say it, and Hal and Shul, those who have that practice, they say it.
The Vilna Goyen didn't follow Nusach Svar, but here he writes in the Haggadah Sagra, the Shulchan Aruch, that he recommends that everybody should follow the Mechaber sheet, because that's the Pashtus of Yerushalmi. And Eretz Yisrael, the meaning is that they all say Halal, right? Even in the shuls where they don't daven Nusach Svar, they daven Nusach Ashkenaz. And they saw the common meaning is that they say with the bracha right on the first night. They don't have the Yom Tov Shenesh Adol. On the first night of Pesach, they say Halal in shul before they go home. And then when they go home, they say Halal again without a bracha on the Seder. Part before and part after. The two different takonos. They say Halal B'Shas HaHadrodeh. And to say Halal B'Shas in Beis HaKnesset, a separate takana. It's a question, what is it based on? That's a problem. What is the Halal and Shul based on? Where do you find that you say Halal B'Laila? The Mishnah says in Megillah that you're not Yetze. Let's say on Pesach morning you have to recite Gans Halal. When you recite the Halal on the night of Pesach, you're not Yetze. You have to repeat it again in the morning of Pesach. And the Mishnah says in Megillah, based on the Pasuk, V'mizrach Shem Eshad Nevoah Mehovol Shem Hashem, that you can only recite Halal, V'mizrach Shem Eshad Nevoah, from sunrise to sunset. You're not Yetze Halal if you say Halal B'Laila. What is the Halal all about on Pesach night? So they give different, the post can give different explanations of what it's all about. They're difficult explanations, but that's what the Goyen Pasuk is like the Mechaber. That's what Rav Soloveitchik recommended, based on the Goyen, that the Rabbanim should introduce in their shuls. He doesn't like to recommend Shinuyim in Hagim, to change the Minhagim, but he thought that this, the Goyen recommended that you should change the Minhag over here. He thought that it is proper. You shouldn't say, if you're not going to have a minion, so then you don't say Halal. This Halal is only recited if you have a minion in the shul. The whole minion together says the Halal. We discussed last week a little bit. The Gemara in the Yenda Pesachim quotes the Machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Loza ben Azariah regarding the din, the Korban Pesach must be completed before Chatzos. A Pesach in a Nechal ala Balayla, and a Nechal ala Chatzos. You have to complete the Korban Pesach by Chatzos alayla. Rabbi Akiva's sheet is that this is only a din that Rabbanah for the Rahachakus or other Minha Adelim. And therefore it only applies to Korban Pesach and doesn't apply to Matzah, and doesn't apply to Afikayim, and doesn't apply to Abikosis, and doesn't apply to the Halal. So the Zman Azeh, the whole din of Chatzos has no application in contra of the Kiva. However, according to Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, that the din of Chatzos, like Korban Pesach, is a din min HaTorah, because it says, V'yochlus HaBasa B'alayla HaZeh, Balayla Zeh has the connotation of Chatzos because it says, Yavarti be'eretz mitzrayim balayla Zeh, the case of called Chatzos be'eretz mitzrayim. And the pasuk says, Vayikach tzi alayla, that Makos Bechoros was exactly at Chatzos. So just like the phrase Balayla Zeh by Makos Bechoros has the connotation of Chatzos, so too by Korban Pesach has the meaning of Chatzos. So Rav Lozman Azari insists that the Korban Pesach must be completed ben HaTorah by Chatzos. The Gemara says in the end of Pesachim, according to Rav Lozman Azari, not only must you complete the Korban Pesach by Chatzos, you have to finish the Afikoyim also by Chatzos. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rav Lozman Azari, like Rabbi Akiva? So that's a shaila in Tesis. And that Kuf Chaf on the base, Tesis quotes the two opinions, whether we should paskin like Rav Lozman Azari, or like Rabbi Akiva. There's a Stam Mishnah here, like Rabbi Akiva, the Stam Mishnah there, like Rav Lozman Azari. It's a problem. We have contradictions in the Stam and Mishnah is how to paskin. So in the Shulchan Aruch they say that one should be machmir for the Shita of Rav Lozman Azari, who holds that Chatzos is a din derais, and therefore Chatzos applies to matzah as well. Doesn't only apply to Korban Pesach, applies to matzah as well. Now, our reading of the Afikoman, there's a machlekes. What is the Afikoman all about? So it's a machlekes between the Rashbam and Tosis. What does the Afikoman represent? So Tosis' opinion is that's a popular view that Afikoman is Zechel of Pesach and Zechel of Chagigah. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that you should have the Maharil says you should have two kizaisim of Afikoman, one Zechel of Pesach, one Zechel of Chagigah. But the Rashbam says not so. That's what the Rosh said. The Rosh says that the Afikoman that we eat is Zechel of Pesach. And then the Maharil says Zechel of Pesach and Zechel of Chagigah, the two korbanos. But it's only a Zecher. Ishgefel, so make a Zecher after Chatzos also. Ishgefel. The Korban Pesach, actual Korban Pesach, you can't make after Chatzos. The Zecher, you don't have to make such a tzimis in that. But the Rashbam's opinion is that in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban Pesach had to be Nechel ala Sova, meaning at the end of the meal. You're not supposed to eat the Korban Pesach at the beginning of the meal. The Mishalmi says, Gzeir Mishum Shvira Setzen. We're afraid that the fellow will be so starved from not eating Erev Pesach after Chatzos that he may break a bone in the Korban Pesach, and that's a special law in the Torah. That's a Moisish Guruvo. So to prevent people from Shvira Setzen, the Mishalmi says, they made a Takana, Pesach calls the Mishalmi, made a Takana that you have to eat the Korban Pesach ala Sova at the end of the meal. But they ate the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, so no matter they ate the Matzah tomorrow also at the end of the meal, because they ate Pesach Matzah tomorrow, all together at the same time. So the Rashbam writes that even though Bizman Hazeh, we don't eat any Korban Pesach, we don't have any Shvirat Zetzim, we don't have any Ala Sova, nevertheless, the Iker Achilas Matzah is not the Matzah that we eat in the beginning of the meal when we say Hamotzi Al Achilas Matzah. The Iker Matzah really is the Matzah that we eat at the end of the meal. The Afikoman is the real Iker Achilas Matzah. I, the Rashbam Tosis asks, isn't it a hefsek? We say the bracha al achilas matzah in the beginning of the meal. We don't get to fulfill a mitzvah until the very end of the meal. So you should say no one's allowed to be mafsek. He mentioned some gedolim and some tzaddikim were machmir, the shalua kodesh. And many tzaddikim after him were machmir, not to be mafsek from the time you say the bracha al achilas matzah till the time you have to eat the afikoman.
You eat the whole meal?
Yeah, you eat the whole meal. And then they were machmir, not to be mafsek. So the Rashbam Tosis say that's not necessary. That is permissible to be mafsik. It just says in din, you shouldn't be mafsik in between the time that say the bracha al achilas matzah and the time that you finish eating the korah. Because the Gemara says it's a suffix whether you have to eat the matzah and the morah separately or you have to eat them together. Hillel says you have to eat them together. And the Chachamim disagree and they say that you eat the matzah separately and the morah separately. So the Gemara says, since it's a machloike, so you should do both shittas. So we eat first the matzah separately, then the morah separately. Then we eat the matzah and the morah together to fulfill the opinion of Hillel. So since we're treating it as if it were a sveikid adina, that we have to eat the matzah and the morah separately or dafka together, and we want to say a bracha on the matzah, we want to say a bracha on the morah. So the bracha that we say, al achilas matzah and al achilas morah, we should have in mind to cover the matzah and the morah that we're eating now, and the matzah and the morah which will be eaten in the kriche. So therefore it says in the Shulchan Aruch that one should not be mafsik, one should not talk, in between the bracha al achilas matzah and the completion of the eating of the korah. But we're not makbid not to be mafsik until after the eating of the avikoma. So Tosis and Rashbam asked the kasha, why? But if the Rashbam is right that the ikar achilas matzah is really the avikoma that you eat at the end of the meal, so why not insist that you're not permitted to be mafsik in between the bracha al achilas matzah and the achil of the avikoma? So Tosis and Rashbam both give an answer that we find several mashalim like that, several instances in halacha that a person recites a birchas hamitzvah now and he begins to do the mitzvah now, but he doesn't really do the kiyum hamitzvah till later. But since he began to do the mitzvah now, so that's not called the hefsek. So they give a mashal. There, Zeruah gives the mashal. You daven ma'ariv in shul early, so you're not yetzik kriyashma, so you have to repeat kriyashma later. So what's with the Birchas Kriyeshma? Aren't you supposed to recite the Birchas Kriyeshma right before the Kriyeshma? Say, Abba Rabba, the Ike Birchas Kriyeshma. So you say the Birchas Kriyeshma now, and then you're not yet to Kriyeshma until half an hour later, until an hour later. So the answer is, these Rishayim say, Nish Defela, that you say the Bracha now, and if you say the Birchas Kriyeshma now, you don't say Kriyeshma at all now. So that there's no connection between the Birchas HaMitzvah and the Mitzvah. But if you say Birchas Kriyeshma now, and you recite Kriyeshma, but you're not yet to the Kriyeshma now because it's too early. So then you say the Kriyeshma later, so the fact that I began to do the mitzvah by beginning to recite Kriyeshma now is Nish Gefela. So that's what the Yozer Ruah gives a Moshe.
You have to first light the thing.
Then pick it up and put it down again. Well, that's over. That's over Las Yosem. That's right before. Right. But we're talking about a case where you're not going to be out to the mitzvah until a half an hour later. He's going to pause with a long enough sock. He's going to do the mitzvah mamish half an hour later.
Is one Yom Just
the Gemara is one is Yotze. We pass into it the Yotze, but the Gemara says you have to have Korach. Korach is not a min. Korach is a din. The Gemara says since we haven't paskin either like Hillel or like the Chachamim, whether we require Davke Matzah and Mara together in a sandwich or Davke to eat them separately, so therefore the Gemara says Hilchah Abdin and Ketravayu. Therefore, we should do like both opinions of the Tanoim. Therefore, we should first eat matzah separately, then mara separately, then eat them mikrich. The mara treats it as if it were a sfeik and a dina.
Pesach Sheni, you have the Indian of Korach?
Yeah, the original mocker of Korach is Pesach Sheni.
That's what it's mentioned in Pesach Sheni. Right, yeah. So in other words, if somebody doesn't have Pesach Sheni, he has Pesach Sheni, so you have to eat...
Same machlokes.
You have to eat both ways?
If you'll treat it like a sfeik and a dina, so you'll have to eat matzah, then matzah and mara together. You'll have to do the whole thing, right? Okay. Maybe we'll paskinize the
dish. But no, exactly what he has to do.
Okay. Okay. Why don't we do what? That's what the Rosh asks Akasha against the Rashbam. If the Rashbam is right that the afikoyman that we eat at the end is not zecher lepesa. But it's rather the Ika Mitzvah's Matzah, so why don't we eat the Morah at the end? Why don't we have the Krich at the end? Why don't we have the Matzah and the Morah and the Kerich at the end? So that's what leads the Rosh to say that the Rashbam and Tosis are both wrong. The Tosis as we have it says the same as the Rashbam. So the Rosh disagrees with them and says that they're wrong, that the Avikoyman at the end is just a Zechel HaPesach, or Zechel HaPesach and a Zechel HaChagigah. And the Matzah we eat in the beginning is the Ika Mitzvah's Matzah. But the Rashbam and Tosis say not so. They say that the matzah that we eat in the beginning is not the mitzvah's matzah. The mitzvah's matzahs go all the way to the end. And it doesn't constitute a hefsek, the fact that we talk in between, because we started to eat some matzah in the beginning.
Well, why do you make it at all? Why do you make it at all? Say the broth at the end.
Oh, so the Rashbam says it's not proper, because since we want to eat matzah to fill ourselves, we're hungry, like in a normal meal. So even though we've eaten the matzah shaloi l'shem mitzvah, we're not going to be eating the mitzvah matzah till the end, so he quotes it tomorrow, but it's not proper. Save the Birchas HaMitzvah till the end. The Gemara has it. The Rashbam quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, what if you have, Lechatchil, you should have a separate vegetable for karpas and a separate vegetable for mor. What if you don't have, what if all you have is romaine lettuce? So the Gemara says, still you have to eat the lettuce twice. Once you eat it l'shem Torah, and the second time you eat it l'shem mor. So the first time you eat it l'shem Torah, you had in mind not to be eaten in the mitzvah of mor. So the Gemara has a machlokas amoraim in that instance, when the person is eating the same vegetable twice, the first time the Shem Terach, not the Shem Moro, and the second time the Shem Moro, when does he recite the Shem Karpas? The first time the Shem Karpas, the first time the Shem Karpas, and the second time the Shem Moro. So when does he recite the Birchas HaMitzvah of Alachilos Moro? So the one opinion is that he says Alachilos Moro when he eats it the second time. When he eats it the first time, he just says Bar Pi Adoma, because he has in mind the Shem Karpas, not the Shem Moro. And we don't pass him like that. The Gemara says we pass him halacha that even though the first time he eats the lettuce, he has in mind only l'shem karpas, not l'shem mitzvah smoror. Nevertheless, he should recite the bracha moror in the beginning. Why? Everybody has beferish kavana not to be yotzei moror then. He doesn't want to be yotzei moror till later because there's a din l'chatchila. The Rashbam points out that there's a seder. Why do we call it a seder on Pesach night? There's a seder l'chatchila how to fulfill a mitzvah. But the evidence if a person eats first the moror then the matzah, he would be yotzei. But l'chatchila he should eat it first matzah and then moror, as it says in the Chumash, matzos and rorim yochlu. First the matzah, then the moror. So the Rashbam says that's why when he eats the karpas, when he only has the romaine lettuce, and he has to eat it twice during the seder. Once l'shem karpas, and the second time l'shem moror. When he eats the l'shem karpas, he has explicit intention not to fulfill the mitzvah moror. Because he wants to fulfill the mitzvah moror after the matzah, in order to have the Seder, lechatchila, first matzah, then maror. Nevertheless, the Gemara comes to the maskana that you should say the bracha al achilas maror, but eats it the first time. Why? So the Gemara gives an argument that lachashid milei preise hemenu, hey chayzim mevarach olav. After he's already had some of the maror originally, the shem karpas, true, he didn't have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of maror, and he didn't fulfill it. Fakir, he had in mind not to fulfill the mitzvah of maror, but still, it looks strange. He's already eaten the maror, and now all of a sudden he wakes up to say the bracha. So we require of him the davki. If he only has one vegetable and he's going to eat the same romaine lettuce twice, he should say the bracha al achilas maror. He says Barpi Adam al achilas maror before he eats the karpas, and he has in mind not to be eating the mitzvah of karpas, and then he eats the maror later in the middle of the meal without a bracha. He does not recite the bracha al achilas maror the second time, and it doesn't constitute a hepsik because he started to eat it before. So the Gemara has this kind of a compromise. So whatever the pshat in the Gemara is, that's what the Rashbam tells you to the matz.
When someone brings a pesach sheni, does that mean that there's a kriya of matz and maror, and the tani brings a pesach sheni also?
Yes,
does
it says no finish.
Bring it what about at the regular time when he can't bring a pesach sheni? He's tamei.
Yeah.
That means there's no chiyuv.
No, there's certainly an obligation to eat matzah. Let's say a person is tamei over derech rechoyk or whatever. He's unable to eat Pesach Rishon, so he's certainly obligated to eat matzah min haTorah on the first Pesach Rishon.
And more.
Like bisman hazeh, there's a chiyuv of matzah min haTorah bisman hazeh, even though we don't have any korban Pesach. Maror, the Gemara says bisman hazeh. Maror bisman hazeh is only the Rabbanan. So that's a machlokes between the Rambam and Taisis. What does it mean, the Maror b'zman hazeh is the Rabbanan? Because in the Chumash, the Maror is only a mitzvah in connection with the Korban Pesach. What does that mean? So the Rambam's opinion is that Maror b'zman hamikdosh, for a person who is a Tomei or b'derech rechoiko, is also not min haTorah on Pesach Rishon. He wouldn't eat. I don't even know if it's the Rabbanan according to the Rambam. The fellow who's going to have to eat a Pesach Sheni, who's going to have to bring a Pesach Sheni, only has to eat matzah the first night of Pesach. He doesn't have to eat Maror min haTorah. Because Maror does not exist, according to the Rambam sheet, Maror does not exist as an independent mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. It's only what the Gemara calls on the Tzarek Hechshera the Pischa. That's the proper way to fulfill a mitzvah's Korban Pesach b'shlei Musa. They have a Korban Pesach with matzah and with Maror. In fact, the Minhaschina quotes on the Chilta that there's a Havamina that if a person eats the Korban Pesach without Maror or without matzah, he's not Yetzer the Korban Pesach, because that's Hechshera the Pischa. That's the proper way to fulfill Korban Pesach in conjunction with matzah and Maror. So then the Mechilta says no, that even though lechatchila the mitzvah b'shlemusa is Korban Pesach, al matzah simrorim yochlu, he should eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and with maror, but for the Yevid, the matzah and the maror is not miyakin in the Korban Pesach. But the Rambam's opinion is that the maror is only hechsher of the pisto. Even bizman amikdosh, maror didn't exist in haTorah unless the person is eating a Korban Pesach. And Tosfos shita is not so. That it means that maror bizman delekal beis amikdosh, bizman shein beis amikdosh kai, maror is only the Rabbon. Maror was the rice on the first night of Pesach, even if the fellow is a Tomei or the Derech Achoiko, and he's not bringing the Korban Pesach. Still, Maror exists as an independent mitzvah. Maror is a mitzvah sachilu b'fnei atzma. That's a machlekes thesis in the Rambam, whether Maror is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma or not. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah, and in the Yadah HaZok, it counts the mitzvahs on Pesach night. It's okay. It's a mitzvah to eat a Korban Pesach, and it's a mitzvah to eat matzah, and he says, no mitzvah to eat Maror. Right? It says, Mechumish. He says, no, and he explains that Maror is only Hechsher de Pischa. It's a detail of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. It doesn't exist as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. And he has this in the Sefer Mitzvah. He has a long arichas on this to prove that it's true. The Yad HaZot, he has it b'kitz and nimrats. In the Sefer Mitzvah, he has it b'arichas.
The times of the Beis HaMikdash, they ate the Korban twice the way we did it, the way we do the lower in the middle and then later on after Kamen. They ate the Korban Pesach also twice the way we separated?
No. The Gemara says if you ate a kazayis at the Korban Pesach, you yoyt. So the Pashup Shad is that that's all you have to eat is a kazayis. The Rambam Shita is that you have to eat two kazayis.
What about having taste in your mouth at the end?
Right. So the Pashup says, Taisa says that they only got to eat the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, it was Nechal al Asova, and that was the last thing they ate. And then after Nacha Pesach HaPikon, they're not allowed to have any dessert after the Korban Pesach. But they should hate Tam Pesach with food. That was the last thing they had, and they only had a kazayis at the end of the meal. I think the Gemara says that you're not permitted to eat and have Pesach Efech HaTzoros a meal in order that you should eat the Korban Pesach with the oven. So how's that called the oven? He's going to eat the whole supper first and then he's going to eat the Korban Pesach at the end. So Tosfos explains that there's no contradiction. That if you're going to eat a meal and have Pesach in the afternoon, he cannot gauge himself. He cannot tell by what he's going to eat and have Pesach in the afternoon how hungry he will be on Pesach night. So we don't allow him to eat any meal on their Pesach afternoon after 3 or 3:30 or so, a half an hour before Minchat Tano, because we're afraid that he'll be so full that he won't enjoy the Korban Pesach later. But we allow him to eat the Suda on Pesach night because he will be careful not to eat too much, so that when he gets to the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, it will be both Nechal Al Asova and Nechal Oteyovan at the same time.
When do they eat the Chagiga?
That's what Tosafos says. They eat the Chagiga in the middle of the meal. They ate the Chagiga in the middle of the meal, and then they ate the Korban Pesach only at the end of the meal. Right. That's how Tosafos learns. The Rambam Shita is not so. The Rambam Shita is that they ate two kizeis in the Korban Pesach, and then it's Ziv writes that this answers Tosafos' riddle. Tosafos bothered with the kasha. How can you eat the Korban Pesach L'Teyavon? It sounds like you're hungry, and you run to eat the Korban Pesach, and then you have to eat the Korban Pesach halasova at the end of the meal. How can it be? So he says the Rambam for him is the kasha. The Rambam writes exclusively v'chatzili eat two kizeis. B'di'evet, the Rambam writes. Mishochal kazayis yotza. The Rambam quotes the Gemara. That's b'di'evet. Why is that b'di'evet? Isn't that v'chatzili? How much do you have to eat? So the Rambam says, yeah, v'chatzili you have to have two kizeis. One kizeis of Korban Pesach at the beginning of the meal. One kizeis of the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal. Kizeis at the beginning of the meal is that it should be nechal l'teyavim. Kizayis, the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, that it should be nechal al asova. And b'di'evet, if the fellow only had one kizayis, that would be sufficient. This is against, of course, this is against the Yerushalmi that we just mentioned before. The Yerushalmi says that the reason why you have to eat the Korban Pesach al asova is a hashash mishum shvira setzim. We're afraid that if we'll allow him to eat the Korban Pesach at the beginning of the meal, he'll be so starved that he may break a bone in his eagerness to eat the Korban Pesach. So if the Rambam says you have to eat twice, once at the beginning of the meal, and once at the end of the meal, al asova, so why not be afraid? But he may be so hungry he'll eat more. So the Rambam al pi pashtus doesn't hold like the Yerushalmi. The Babli also says it's questionable whether the Tosafos points out that fine. It's questionable whether the Babli holds from the Yerushalmi. The pashtus says that al asova is a different thing. It's a separate halacha. It's not because of the chashash to Rabbanan.
I mean, it seems to be according to the Rambam, because we split it up. First we do, we eat, then we say, Zechel HaMikdash, you know, that's what he all used to do.
Right.
Right? So either you do it after Chomer Hill, either way you're doing it right then. And then we're eating it again after Chomer. You know, both of them seem to be Zechel to the Korban Pesach.
No. The Afikomen is a machzor. The Gemara says you have to eat the Afikomen. The Gemara says that there's no Korban Pesach, eat the Afikomen. So what is it all about? So that's the dispute between the Rashbam and the Rosh. The Rashbam says Afikomen is the Iker Mitzvah Matzah. That we haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah matzah at the beginning of the meal. You only fulfill matzah at the end of the meal. According to the Rashbam, the proper thing is they should eat the mor and the korach also at the end of the meal. But we don't really follow the Rashbam. We really are yetzei matzah and mor and korach at the beginning of the meal. And we hold like the Rosh that the afikomen at the end of the meal is only a zecher the korban pesach.
So in other words, according to the Rosh, then we're doing it both ways. We still have a zecher the korban pesach because we make korach like pillow, right, in the middle. We're saying Zechel HaMikdash Kiholos we're doing, and the Chacham used to do it a little differently, but both of them apparently ate Pesach then, right in the middle. And now according to
the Korban Pesach had to be eaten at the end of the meal.
So what are you doing the Hillel and the Korach in the middle in the first place?
No, the Hillel and the Korach in the middle is like this. We don't have any Korban Pesach. We just have matzah and mor.
Yeah.
If you only have matzah, so it's not shach to have any korach. If you only have mor, it's not shach. But if you have matzah and mor, then you can begin to discuss truth. So the Gemara has a machlokes, is Hillel and the Chachamim, how are you supposed to fulfill the mitzvahs halayla? So Hillel says that the proper way to fulfill the mitzvahs of Pesach matzah mor is to eat them all together. And the Chachamim say no, that the proper way to fulfill the mitzvahs davki, each one separately. If you eat them together, then we'll say the mitzvahs mevatla zu. That when you have to fulfill a mitzvah v'achilo, you have to eat everything separately. Let's say a person is eating, a kohen is eating a korban chatas. So he'll eat some potato chips or some potatoes of chulin together with the korban chatas. So the Gemara says this will ruin his mitzvah of achilas korban chatas. If you eat a dvar harshus at the same time that you're eating a dvar mitzvah, so it's as if the whole thing is an achilas harshus. It's not called an achilas mitzvah unless it's eaten separately. So that's a machlokes hillel and chachamim. What if both of the things that I'm eating are both mitzvahs, but they're two different mitzvahs? So they're pulling in two different directions. So do I say that each mitzvah is in competition with the other mitzvah? So I say mitzvah is mevat l'zu azu. So when I eat the matzah and the mora together, I eat the Pesach matzah mora together, I consider it as if I'm eating a dvar harshus together with the mitzvah. Because from the viewpoint of the matzah, the mora is a dvar harshus. From the viewpoint of the mora, the matzah is a dvar harshus. So each one will ruin. If I eat two things together, each one will ruin the kiyum mitzvah of the other one. Or do you say no, that the mitzvahs were given on Pesach night, the davke, to eat them all together?
But Hillel didn't do his korach then in the basement. She did his korach, what we're
saying? At the end.
Right,
he ate it.
So, what We're just mentioning it, though. We, you know,
we don't have any Korban Pesach.
Yeah, I understand. But I'm saying Korban
Pesach has to be an apple at the end.
This is what Hillel used to do, right? But he didn't do it now. He did it later.
Right, he did it later because he had the Korban Pesach. He wanted to eat the Pesach al Hasova. But we don't have any Korban Pesach, and there's no din of matzah mor al Hasova, so you may as well fulfill the mitzvah of matzah mor at the beginning of the meal.
Why should we mention Hillel later on when he used to do it at the time he used to do it?
Because we don't have the Korban Pesach, so we do it now.
It's a taina, There is a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, there is a machloikis between the Rambam and the Rashbam. What exactly did Hillel put in the Kricha? The Rambam's opinion is that he didn't have all three together, Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. The Korban Pesach has to be eaten separately. He only had a Kricha of Matzah and Morah. Even Bizman HaMikdash, that's all he had together was Matzah and Morah. He could have eaten the Matzah and Morah with the Kricha in the beginning of the meal. The Korban Pesach at the end of the meal. The other Rishonim say like Yitayna. Rashbam and the Yerushalmi Chala says Mefurish like that. That Bizman HaMikdash, they had all three together. Hillel would eat Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. All three together. There are two versions where you say, here it's in parentheses. It says, Fayakorach Pesach, Matzah, Morah. The word Pesach is in parentheses. Because the Rambam doesn't have that Girsah. The Rambam's Girsah is Fayakorach, Matzah, Morah. So the Chok Yankiv and the Pesach on the bottom of the page points out that the Rambam's Girsah is Fayakorach, Matzah, Morah. And the Rashbam's Girsah is Fayakorach, Pesach, Matzah, Morah. The Rashbam's gears is substantiated by the Yerushalmi Chala, says Mefurish all three together.
But he did make a mochi then, when we all make a mochi.
Yeah, at the beginning of the meal, he said, I'm mochi. The Rambam Shita is that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten separately. The Rambam has a unique Shita, that everything on Pesach night, everything that's a mitzvah sachila, has to be dipped into Charoses. The Gemara has a machlokes, what does Charoses represent?
According to the Rambam, we also hold the kizayis of Pesach at the beginning of the meal.
Right.
We actually could have had karyak, matzo, and morah, and karyak Pesach at the very beginning of the meal.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't have to wait till the end of the meal.
According to the Rambam, the kricha was only matzo and morah. The other Rishonim hold is only one kizayis at the end of the meal. So they didn't have any Korban Pesach in the beginning. And then the kricha had to be Pesach, matzo, umor. Only the Rambam holds not. So according to the other Rishonim, the Kricha had to be at the end of the meal with the Korban Pesach. You only eat the Korban Pesach at the end. The Rambam holds true that you eat the Korban Pesach in the beginning, at the end, and in the end, but the Rambam holds that the Kricha didn't include the Korban Pesach. It was only the Matzah and the Morah. According to the Rambam, the Kricha probably was in the beginning of the meal. It was not at the end of the meal. The Rambam has a unique Shita, yeah.
No one holds to just eat the Pesach with the Morah, forget the Matzah.
No.
No one
holds
that.
No.
But how do you end up with
the Rambam has a unique shita. The Rambam shita is, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, a machlokes in the Mishnah, in Arab Pesachim. What is the purpose of the charoses? So Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik says that it's a mitzvah to have charoses on Pesach. And the other Tanoim disagree, it's not a mitzvah. What does the Gemara say? A mitzvah? So the Gemara says, either zecha letit, zecha to the...
Water
that they used to build with, or Zechel Tapuach, Tachas Tapuach Haraticha, the Pasuk in Shir, or the Yerushalmi quoted by Tosfos says Zechel Adam, that you should mix in red wine that it should look bloody. Zechel Adam. The three different reasons for the Charoses. So that's like Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Tzadok, that it's a mitzvah. And the Chachamim disagree, they say it's no mitzvah. So the Gemara said, there's no mitzvah, so why in the world do you have Charoses? It's a minig. What is that? The Gemara says, no, the Charoses is Mishum Kippur. No, the Gemara says Charoses is Mishum Kippur, to kill the worm. That there's a bug or a worm that's in the Morah, that's unhealthy. It's not Treif. The Gemara says it's not Treif. The Rashbam tries to say why? Because it developed inside of the vegetable. The din is, if a worm is crawling over here and it crawls inside a vegetable, inside an apple, then it's awesome. Then you have to get it out. And it's not enough if you kill it inside. It won't be dangerous. It's unhealthy if you have live worms crawling around. So you have to kill the worm for health reasons. But then, if they kill the worm, you have to remove the worm. If it crawled from the outside to the inside, then you have to remove the worm, you're not allowed to eat it. But if the worm, if the worm eggs hatched inside the fruit of the vegetable, then it's mutter to eat the worm. It's just that it's unhealthy. So the Gemara says you have to dip the maror into the charoses, and the charoses has such a sharp reyach, such a sharp aroma, it'll kill the worm. Then the Gemara says you have to shake off the charoses. People make a mistake. The people pile on a lot of charoses on the Morah. So the Morah says that you're not yet to the mitzvah then. You put charoses because the charoses is not supposed to be eaten together with the Morah. You have to dip it in and then shake it all off. So that's according to the Chachamim that charoses is not a mitzvah. You only have charoses for the sake of dipping in the Morah to kill the worm. What about according to Rav Lezer, Rav Tzadok, that charoses is a mitzvah? So it's a mitzvah to remember Zechel Tit, and zechel tapoch and zechel dam. So why do you only have the charesis in connection with the maror? Why don't you have the charesis in connection with everything? So the Rambam says anach anami. You have to dip the matzah in the charesis and shake off the matzah. Shake off the charesis from the matzah. You have to dip the karpas in the charesis, the Rambam says, and shake off the charesis. You have to dip the maror in, shake off the charesis. But the Korban Pesach you don't dip in. Korban Pesach stands alone. It's the Rambam Shita, because the Mishnah says that you have to eat the Korban Pesach at the end, Kadesh Yehei. They may have Tirnach HaPesach HaPesach. Kadesh Yehei. Tam Pesach, the fee. So if you're going to dip it into Haroses, even if you're going to shake off the Haroses, but it's still going to be a mixture of some other flavor there. And the Rambam holds that's the halacha, that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten completely separate. You don't dip it into any Haroses, even though Haroses is a mitzvah with the Rabbanim, coming to Rabbi Lezber of Tzorik. And the Rambam and the Aruch HaZok, it passes like Rabbi Lezber of Tzorik, that it's a mitzvah. That's how he comes off to say that it's a mitzvah to dip the matzah in, but you have to kill the bugs in the matzah. And no worms in the matzah. He's not worried about worms. If you all like the chachamim, the charesis is not a mitzvah.
You have to shake it off.
You shouldn't have the time.
No, you have to shake it off because the pashtus says that there's no mitzvah to eat charesis. The mitzvah is only to dip in. The zechel adama, zechel tapucha, zechel tit is just to dip in. So if you lead it with charesis, then you'll say a dvar harshus is mevatla dvar mitzvah. That's the pashtus like that. So the Rambam and the Aruch HaZokah writes that charesis is a mitzvah. What's a mitzvah? To dip in the matzah, to dip in the karpas, to dip in the mor, and then to shake it off. To dip everything in. All the mitzvahs achilah should be dipped in except for Korban Pesach. That's l'shitasa that he holds that Hillel didn't have a kricha all three together. Pesach, matzah, umorah. The kricha, the sandwich only consisted of matzah and morah. And the Pesach has to be eaten separately. So that's what he holds. Even Aliba the Hillel, it's only machlokes Hillel and the Rabbanan. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah and morah? The Pesach always is eaten separately. That's the Rambam and Gantz in a different sheet. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah is passing is not so. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah writes that according to Rabbi Lezer Rab Tzarek, who holds the Charoises, is a mitzvah, you should have recited a bracha before you eat the Charoises. That he holds that according to Rabbi Lezer Rab Tzarek, who holds Charoises mitzvah, it doesn't mean that it's a mitzvah to dip in all the mitzvahs achil into Charoises. Mitzvah to dip in karpas, a mitzvah to dip in matzah, a mitzvah to dip in mora. No, it's mitzvah to eat Charoises. Just like it's a mitzvah to eat karpas, a mitzvah to eat matzah, so it's a mitzvah to eat charesis, and you should say a bracha ala tilas charesis. But he says, we don't pass like that. That's what he writes in the Pirush HaMishnah. We don't pass like that. Otherwise, if you would have passed like Rabbi Lezer Rab Tzarek, you would have to eat a kazayis charesis, and recite a bracha in advance, ala tilas charesis. Charesis is like this. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah says that according to Rabbi Lezer Rab Tzarek, that charesis is a mitzvah. What it means is not a mitzvah to dip in. To dip in is to kill the bugs, to kill the worms. It's a different story. But it's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of charesis and to say a bracha before you eat it, al achilas charesis. And then he adds on, but from the fact that we don't have that bracha in our haggadahs, is it right? We don't pass like Rabbi Lezer Rab Tzarek. And the Aruch HaZokah, the Rambam contradicts what he writes in the Pirush HaMishnah. The Lacha Mishnah points out. The Aruch HaZokah, the Rambam writes, that we do pass like Rabbi Lezer Rab Tzarek, that charesis is a mitzvah. Either shaila is, and what is the mitzvah? So he doesn't write that it's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis charesis. He says a mitzvah to dip in the karpas and charesis, and to dip in the matzah and charesis, to dip in the morah, to shake off all the charesis, right? But he doesn't say it's a mitzvah to eat it. But why don't you say a bracha? So what bracha are you going to say? You're going to say a bracha al achilas charesis, you don't need it. Why should you say a bracha al tvilas karpas and charesis? Alfilas Mora b'charoises said the tour, and many Rishonim say that even though charoises is a mitzvah to dip in, no, charesis is like this. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah says that according to Rabbi Lezer Rab Tzarek, that charisis is a mitzvah. What it means is not a mitzvah to dip in. To dip in is to kill the bugs, to kill the worms. It's a different story. But it's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of charisis and to say a bracha before you eat it, Allah kiddos charisis. And then he adds on, but from the fact that we don't have that bracha in our hagodis, is it right? We don't pass like Rabbi Lozor Absol. And the Arach Hazoke, the Rambam contradicts what he writes in the Pirush HaMishnah. So like a Mishnah points out, the Arach Hazoke, the Rambam writes, that we do pass like Rabbi Lozor Absol, that charisis is a mitzvah. Either Shaila is, and what is the mitzvah? So he doesn't write that it's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis charisis. He says a mitzvah to dip in the karpas and charisis, and to dip in the matzah and charisis, to dip in the mor, to shake off all the charisis. Right. So he doesn't say it's a mitzvah to eat it. Why don't you say a bracha? So what bracha are you going to say? You're going to say bracha al achilas charisis, you don't eat it. Why should you say bracha al tvilas karpas be charisis? Al tvilas mor be charisis? So the tour, and many Rishayim say, that even though charoisis is a mitzvah to dip in the karpas and to dip in the matzah, to dip in the maror, you don't say a bracha on that because we have a klal of ikar and tofel. Let's say somebody's eating potatoes with butter on it. So potatoes is bar pi adom and butter is shahakal. So does it say two brachas? He says bar pi adom on the potatoes and it says shahakal on the butter. No, you have a klal of ikar and tofel. So birch al ikar, potar is atvelo, the Mishnah says in brachas. When it comes to birchas anehenin, if you say the bracha on the ikar, you don't have to recite a bracha on the tofel. So the Rishonim say the same is true. The Tosis on the Leis Daf and Kuf Chof Aleph Mon Aleph himself and Kotzai Yerushalmi. That the same applies to Birchas HaMitzvahs as well. Not only to Birchas HaNen, and the same applies to Birchas HaMitzvahs. When you're doing two mitzvahs, very strange concept. When you do two mitzvahs, and one mitzvah is an Iker, and the other mitzvah is a Tofel, one mitzvah is Tofel to the other, very strange. So then you only say a bracha on the Iker, and you don't say a bracha on the Tofel. So what's an example? So Tosis there quotes Yerushalmi, gives a very strange example. The Mishnah has, the last Mishnah has a machlekes hatanoim. On Pesach night, you eat two karbonis. This my amigdosh. You eat a little bit of the chagigas arboasa. Everybody's supposed to eat a little bit of chagigas arboasa. Then you eat a little bit of the korban pesach, hakazayis of the chagiga, and the kazayis of the korban pesach. So do you recite two brachas? Before you eat the korban pesach, you say a bracha, ashek Hashem zason, al achilas ha pesach. Do you also say a bracha before you eat the chagiga, al achilas hazebach? So that's a machlekes satana.
Is chagiga really a mitzvah? The 14th day? Or is chagiga the mitzvah on the 15th day to bring kohen? That's a mitzvah.
The two chagigas. The chagiga on the 15th day.
If it comes on Pesach on Shabbos, you don't bring it.
Right, we pass and you don't bring it. Right, there's a machlekes satana. What if a Pesach falls out on Shabbos? So the din is that the korban Pesach is the Shabbos. So you chef the korban Pesach on Shabbos afternoon. On Shabbos afternoon, you chef the korban Pesach. Do you also chef the Chagigas Arbrosa? So the Gemara says on Daf Ayin that depends when the Chagigas Arbrosa is the Raisa or the Rabbana. Ben Tamer, one Tana by the name of Ben Tamer, is of the opinion that Chagigas Arbrosa is the Raisa, and you must always bring a Korban Chagiga, and it's even Doicha Shabbos. And we pass the Chagigas Arbrosa is only the Rabbana, it's not the Raisa. The real Chagiga that's certainly the Raisa is the Chagiga that you bring on Yontem, not the Chagiga you bring on Erev Yontem. And each one of the Shalosh Regolim, there's an obligation to bring Ria Chagiga and Simcha. The Gemara says in the first paragraph of Chagiga, the Gemara quotes at the Sef, the Gimel Mitzvahs in Stava Yisrael, Bali Yosem LaRegel, and each one of the Shalosh Regolim, on Pesach, on Shavuos, and Sukkot, every Jew is obligated to participate in Hakrovas Korma Chagiga. I don't have to buy a Shalom Chagiga all by myself. All 100 people can buy one Korma Chagiga, and each one will get one Lemcha. He's not Mukhayif to buy a whole Korma Chagiga all by himself. All together, a few hundred people can bring one Chagiga, and each one will get a Kazai. It's not Mukhayif to eat 25 Kazais. And the same thing, let's say the Riyah, the Oilas Riyah. You don't say every person has to pay for his own Oilas Riyah. He can get 350 people, buy one carbon Oilas Riyah, and burn it on the Mizbech, and all 350 people will be here to the Oilas Riyah, the Shutfis. There's no law that every person has to bring his own. But the Gemara says it then, the Gemara quotes at the Sefer, that Gimel Mitzvahs, Nitztavi So Bali Yosem Oregel. And every one of the Shalosh Regolim, on Pesach, on Shavuot, on Sukkot, everybody has to be at least a Shutif in a Shalmei Chagiga, in an Oilas Riyah, and in a carbon simcha, whatever that is. That's a problem. What the third one is, what the carbon simcha is. That's a big shalom and rishon. Shlomim, or does it mean that you have to eat it, or just have to be makrovitz? Who knows? It's a problem.
It's similar to shalom and chagiga.
It's a question, what is it? It's a question. It's a whole lasik with the tzlach, with the ram, it's all shalom. What is the third carbon simcha? The Gemara says, and the Gemara never explains. Riyah chagiga, we know what they are. And simcha is unclear what it means. That's a problem. So that's the Chagigas Chamisha Osor, that's really the Raisa. The Chagiga that you bring on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, that's the Mitzvah Chagiga that's mentioned in Chumash. Shalosh Parim Vashara Tochog Li.
Why would you That would be Berachas Shabbos?
No, that's not Berachas Shabbos because you have Tashlum and you can bring in a Challah Moed. And on Shavuos you can bring it for the next 6 days after Shavuos also. So that's not called a mitzvah Shezmana Kavua because you have another couple of days to bring it. The Chagigas HaBrasa is a Machlokes HaTanoim HaDafayin, whether it's Deraisa or Derabbanan. So we pass when Chagigas HaBrasa is love Deraisa, and it's only the Derabbanan. But still it's a mitzvah with the Derabbanan to bring a Chagigah and a Korban Pesach.
Yeah? That's Kavua, no?
That's Kavua, but it's only with the Derabbanan. So that's not going to be Derech HaShabbos. The Chagigas HaBrasa will not be Derech HaShabbos. Right. Yeah, well, you can eat matzah, you can eat knedla.
What
chicken, fish, you feel the fish,
what animal do you want to bring?
That's also Machlokes HaTanaim. According to the Tana Ben Tema, who says Chagigas HaBrasa is Deraisa, so he says it has all, and it's Derech HaShabbos, he says it has all the dinim of the Korban Pesach. It has to be only the Rakvasim and Reizim, it has to be a Ben Shana before its first birthday, and it has to be Zeniser Etzim Loisishbur Bo, and it has all the same dinim as the Korban Pesach. All the exact same dinim as the Korban Pesach, except that it's not a Korban Pesach. Yeah, maybe a lamb. The same as the Korban Pesach. Either a klasim or ezim. Either a goat or a lamb. You have the whole cup. You have the whole cup. And the Hachamim, the Rebbein Tamer, disagree, and they say, no, Chagigas HaBrasa is lav deraisa, and it's not based on the pasuk that seems to be equating it with the Korban Pesach, and it can be bought min haklasim or min ezim or min habakam min hatzon. It can be bought to a behem adak or a behem agas.
There's no minu by a Korban Pesach. The
Chagigah
on the
Rabbah
also, there's no
minu,
but Korban Pesach has to be a
minu. Right. This is the Gemara says, according to Ben Taima, I think that you do
also
need
Lemeruyah.
I think so. The Gemara raises the question, how many of the dinim of Korban Pesach apply to Chagigas HaBrasa according to Ben Taima? See, Ben Taima is the one who says that they both have to be broiled. Balala zeh kulo tzli. What do I mean, balala zeh kulo tzli? Shebuchala leilu samachlim. Oh, we don't say that.
We don't say that.
The fear kashis in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah has. And the Bizman Shah Beis HaMikdash, Shaya Kayyam, and the Manashtana that I said, Manashtana alay lazeh, mikol alay lazeh, b'chol alay lazeh, no achlin boset tzli shovuk and mevushol, alay lazeh, kulo tzli. That's the Lashon HaMishnah. So the Gemara comments on the Mishnah, what do you mean alay lazeh, kulo tzli? Everything is broiled, it's not everything broiled. The Korban Pesach is tzli, tzliyeh shematzis emarom yachlu. But the Chagigas HaBrasa is not kulo tzli. So the Gemara says, Masnisen Mani Ben Temehi, the Ben Temeh has a Chagigas HaBrasa is Deraisa, and has all the exact same dinim as the Korban Pesach, and it has to be Tzli Dafke, it has to be Melakvasim Reizim, and so on. That's the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah on Kufte, Zainim, and Aleph. The Gemara says, Alayla Zekula Tzli, follows Ben Temeh Shita. So Tesis has a Shaila, how do we paskin Lalacha? Do we paskin like Ben Temeh? The Pashtus says, we don't paskin like Ben Temeh. We don't paskin that it's Deicha Shabbos. Is Deraisa. Pashtus says that we pass is not Deicha Shabbos. So nevertheless, Tosis points out that when you have the Shtei, when you have the Shnei Tafshilin, the Mishnah has a Takana that after the Churban Abayis, you have to have Shnei Tafshilin on the Seder plate. What's the significance of the Shnei Tafshilin? So the Gemara says that it's Zeichel HaPesach, Zeichel HaChagiga. Originally, the Gemara had a different shot. Originally, the Gemara said that it's not a Takana the Rabbanan after the Churban Abayis, Zeichel HaPesach and Zeichel HaChagiga. But it's even Mizman HaBayis. You have to have a two-course meal. You have to have two different tafshilin to demonstrate that it's a surah hashuva. Like on Erev Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos, and you eat the surah mafsek, so the Mishnah has a din. You're not permitted to have shnei tafshilin. You can have all the raw fruits and vegetables you want, but cooked foods, you're not allowed to have more than one. If you have shnei tafshilin, so that's koveh, that it's already a surah hashuva, and one is not permitted to have a surah hashuva for the surah mafsek, as an Erev Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos. Similar to the din that on Erev Tishba, we're not allowed to have Surah HaShuva. The Surah of the Seder on Pesach night has to be a Surah HaShuva. To show that we're B'nai Choron, that we're millionaires, that we're free people now. So we do have Shnei Tafshil. So the Gemara originally thought, the first Imam Norman, the Gemara held that the din of Shnei Tafshilin is not because after the Churban Abayis, they made a Zeichel, a Pesach, and Zeichel. It has nothing to do with that. It's a mitzvah to have Shnei Tafshilin, to have a two-course meal on Pesach night, to have that it should be a Surah HaShuva. His Zman HaMikdash it always would be because he had a Pesach and he had a Chagig, so he was going to have Shnei Tafshil.
Not if they're the same thing.
No? Exactly the same min. Okay, maybe it wouldn't be Shnei Tafshil. So then the Gemara says, no, that's not the reason for the Shnei Tafshil that it should be called the Surah HaShuva, but it's rather for the sake of having a Zechel Pesach and Zechel HaChagig. So that's what Tosis says, since one of the two Tafshilin is a Zechel Pesach, you should broil it. You should broil it over the, rather than just have some cooked piece of meat, a cooked piece of chicken, you should broil it over the fire to toast it. So the shaila is, what about the other tafshil? Should you broil both of the tafshil? Our meaning is that we take a fligala and we take an egg. So if legally, after you cook it, so you hold it, or you take a bone, whatever, you take some meat. Has to, if you just take a bone, it doesn't have any flesh on it, so that's not shnei tafshilin. It has to be dafki, it has to have food on it. You can have a bone also, but the ikar is that it should have food on it. So after you've cooked it already, then the minig is, based on the taste, is that you hold it over the fire a little bit, and you singe it, and you broil it a little bit, that it should really be a zechel kodesh
pesach.
On Pesach night, the minig is that we don't eat broil. But if you want to eat it in the daytime, you may.
Sali,
there were two minhagim. Is man amigdosh, the korban pesach had to be dafkin sli. After the korban pesach amigdosh, the mishnah in Machmas Shinogan, the fourth parak of Pesachim, quotes two minhagim. Some places they had a minig dafkin to eat sli, to have a zechel pesach, to remember that in the days of the pesach amigdosh they used to have korban pesach. And the other places the minig was dafkin not to have sli, that no one should think that we're eating kachemachut. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that the minig by the Ashkenazim is in Europe. European minig is that we don't eat sli. By Svardim, some of the Svardim minig is dafka that they do eat sli.
Is it meat over the fire, or let's say meat that is not over, it's cooked.
Pot roast. Yeah, those are different minhagim already. Within the minig, that you don't eat sli. Yeah, the whole thing is a minig. Not to eat sli is a minig.
Yes.
So then the shayla is within the minig that you don't eat lamb chops, or you don't eat broiled on Pesach. Steak. What if it's not broiled? What if it's not broiled steak? What if it's pot roast? What if it's roasted? What if it's roasted chicken or roasted flesh? So the Or HaShulchan says that it's muta. And others say no. Others assume that pot roast is the same as tzli. The different minhagim within that. And others have the minig davke. By many svarim have the minig b'davke to eat sli on Pesach night, like the other minig that's mentioned in the Mishnah. They have davke zeichel Pesach. So Tosis says that one of the two tafshilin should be davke broiled because it's zeichel Pesach, and the problem Pesach can't be davke sli. What about the other tafshil, the one that's zeichel chagiga? Does that have to be broiled also? So that depends on this machloket ben Taim and the Chachamim. According to Ben Taimo, that not only did the Pesach have to be tzli, but the Chagig has to be tzli as well. And the Mishnah that quotes the Manashtanim is Ma'am Migdash. That they said, Alayla, is like kulot tzli. The Gemara says that follows Ben Taimo, everything, both the Pesach and the Chagig. So if the din would be like Ben Taimo, then the proper thing would be to broil the egg as well. That's what they quote in Shulchan Aruch, that many people have a meaning, that you broil not only the fligala, not only the piece of flesh, broil the egg as well to be machmer for Ben Taimah's opinion. That Ben Taimah holds that they both had to be broiled, both the Pesach and the Chagiga. These are first you cook in it, first you cook the egg in the pot. And after you have a hard boiled egg, you take off the shell, and then you hold it over the fire for a while, and then you toast it.
With the shell.
With the shell, okay. Sure, with the shell, it's not going to get too... Three times a year is the Chagiga's Tezvah. That's the Korban Chagiga that you bring on Yom Tov. That's for sure a din d'oraisa. And that doesn't have to be davke tzli. That doesn't have to be davke tzli. That's not Derech HaShabbos, but you have all 7 days to bring. But the Chagiga that you bring on Erev Pesach, that's the Machloikes HaTanoim. And Pesach you bring two Chagigas. One Chagiga sometime during the course of Pesach, either Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed. Then you bring another Chagiga Sarbo also on Erev Pesach, which you're supposed to eat on Pesach night, before you eat the Korban Pesach. So the Pesach will be Nechal al Asav. So that Chagiga Sarbo'asa, that's a Machloek Satanoim, whether that's their rice or their Rabbonim. That's what the Pashtus is, that we pass can love their rice.
When you say Zvachim and Apsachim and Avzachim, and Moed Shabbos, you say for Keb.
Right, right.
According to the Rambam, why did you eat Chagiga? The Rambam says you can eat the first desires out of the Teyorah.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I need the Chagiga for? That's the Avzachim. I already can eat the Chagiga.
You can eat matzah, you can eat kleilach, soup, eh? I don't know, that's what the Gemara says, that they instituted the Chagig is Abbas, if it's love their Isaac, they should have Pesach, Nechal al Asol.
Yeah, that was the whole Yahweh, they call Pesach at the end,
but you have to eat some at the end also, al Asol. So the part that eat al Asol should be eaten following.
Yeah, but on the other hand, how did the Rabban answer the Rambam's question about how you can, according to Hilly,
No. So the other Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam, the Rishonim says before it's like that, then he'll eat all three together. That's the mitzvah, to eat all three together. I think the Gemara and Daf Ayin has a suffix within Ben Taimah. According to the halacha, if you don't hold like Ben Taimah, Chagigas Abbasos love their rice, it doesn't have to be tzli, and then it's not there for Shabbos, then you certainly don't need Lumenuyim. The Shaila Nimor is according to Ben Taymor that it has a lot of dinim that are similar to the Korban Pesach, so the Gemara raises that Shaila, do you need Lumenuyim or not?
So
I don't remember what the last one is.
If you tell me, could you eat the
Chagigas Pesach? Chagigas also. It's not Nechal, it's not Nechal with Tumor. No, that's not. Only
so you can't be at Tzvul Yom. When you bring the Pesach, you can't be at Tzvul Yom. At the time that you're on the New York, you got to have Har of Shimshon. You know, it's complicated thing. So the question is the Chagigah, how long is, you know, sets a complicated halacha, or at the time they bring it to you, but by Pesach Mencho already been told for
Don't remember. I think the Gemara probably discusses it in the foolish. I don't remember. On Pesach night, the Gemara says that there's a special din that when you say hamoitzi al achilas matzah, you should have a prusa. You have to have a broken matzah. Why? Because the pasuk refers to the mitzvah of matzah as eating lechemoni. You have to eat lechemoni. What does it mean lechemoni? So the Gemara has various drushes on that term. So one of the drushes is that madar kshalani the prusa. That an oni, a poor man, can't afford to bake his own matzah, he can't afford to buy his own bread. So he goes around snoring food from the zvirin. So he knocks on someone's door and he asks for an adonah. So what are they giving him? They're going to give him a whole challah? They'll give him the leftover challahs like that. So they'll give him a prusa. As the pasuk says in Yeshaya, halafros le'roi lachmecho. He should break off a piece of bread, lachmecho, and give a piece of broken piece of bread to the oni. So that's what the Gemara says. Madar kishalani beprusa. What does the poor man have? The prusa that the gvirim give him. So on Pesach night, the mitzvah is that you should eat the matzah prusa. So Tosis raises the question. All right, and daf kuf kazayin amen alf. All right. So what's going to be with the din of lechem mishnah? And every Shabbos and Yontif there's a din of lechem mishnah. So Tosis quotes the machlokes harishonim. Tosis here and the Tosis in brachas has the same machlokes. Reason in brachas daf lamites has the same machlokes. How do these two dinim jive? On the one hand, you have to have lechem mishnah. You have to have two shleimus for lechem mishnah. On the other hand, you want to have a prusa. So we fulfill both dinim by having two and a half matzahs. We have two shleimus. We have one prusa.
For which one do you eat?
Oh, that's what we'll get to.
Right,
and the Don Legoyen followed the Rambam Shita, followed the Rif, and followed the other opinion in Tosfos that you only have one and a half. Right, you have one and a half matzahs. Baket, if you have two and a half matzahs, so how will you fulfill lechem oni madak shalani beprusa? It's lecha gvir. He has two shleimus and a prusa. That's a gvir. If you don't have lecha mishnah, if he doesn't have, if he can't afford to have lecha mishnah, he bedavka doesn't have two shleimus. If he has one shleim and one prusa, so that's dak shalani. A gvir, when every yontes and shabbos would have two shleimus.
How does that work exactly? You have to take a matzah, I cut it in half, and I give it to you. Can I give you half a matzah, or can I give you a whole matzah?
Give me half a matzah.
How do you know? You only can compare it to a full matzah that you know I broke apart half of it. But if I give you half a matzah, I tell you this a whole matzah, you don't know the difference.
You look around the edges.
Oh, you have brown matzah. You have twin matzah.
It's a little machine.
Machine matzahs is back at profit. Machine matzahs, when they first started the machine matzahs, there was a big deal among the rabbanim whether it's called a shleim or not.
Yeah.
They can use a machine matzah to count as a shleim or not. Maybe they're all prusas because they all come out as big sheets, and then they break them later. So maybe it's not called a shleim. So many rabbanim talk like that it's not called a shleim, but it's generally assumed that it is because melech atchila was intended. It was intended that they should be these sizes. Right, so that says beferish in the Shulchan Aruch that if you baked separate challahs and they expanded because of the heat and then they baked together and then it says that on a regular Shabbos, a regular Yom Tov, you have two challahs that are stuck together because they're baked together. Then it says lachatchila, it's preferable to separate them. Don't say that now it's shleimus and if I separate them they'll both become prusas. No, lachatchila is preferable to separate them that there should be nikkur that they're two separate challahs. Otherwise, it won't look like lechem mishnah. When you separate them, that's not called a chisorin of prusa. That's called each one is a shleimah, because there they were intended to be separate. So that's what we are making. We assume that on the machine matzah, even though it all comes out initially as one sheet, but since it was intended to be made as separate units, so we break it on the lines. So that's called shleimah. No, but you can still tell. You can still tell how much is a shleimah. You can tell, but this was the original intended size. It's not. So that's the machlokes that Tosfos quotes on Kuf Tes Zayin and Aleph, whether you should have Lecha Mishnah in addition to the Prusa, or you should have no. The din of Madarka Shalani Beprusa tells you that on Pesach night you should bedavke not have Lecha Mishnah. If you have two Shleimus and a Prusa like we do, then where do you see that it's Lecha Moni Madarka Shalani Beprusa Faketz Lecha Gvir that he has 2.5 matzahs? That's the machlokes. What does this machlokes really depend on? So l'chor the machlokes is what is the relationship between the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of Sudas Yantuf? Every Shabbos and Yantuf there's a mitzvah to have a Sudah. With the Rabbanon, with the Raisa, whatever problem with the Rabbanon. And every time you have this mitzvah to have a Sudah Shabbos and Yantuf, there's a mitzvah to have Lecha Mishnah. On Pesach night there's a mitzvah to have matzah. Does this mitzvah to have matzah on Pesach night mean that this is the way you should fulfill us, the mitzvah of Sudas Yantuf? On Pesach night one should be mekayem the mitzvah of Sudah by having matzah. This is what the Sudah should consist of. So if that's the pshat, then the Rambam and the Rif and the Vilna Gaon are right. And that day in Taisa, they should have dafke 1.5. Because the pasuk says, lechem monim adar kishaloni bepruso, that you want to demonstrate dafke that the mitzvah suda tonight is going to be bepruso like an oni. So this pasuk of adar kishaloni bepruso tells you lapuke that you should bedafke not have lechem mishnah of two shleimis. Tonight the mitzvah suda is different from every other Shabbos and Yom Tov. That is bedafke bepruso.
If you have another time for oni. Oil by the Habendorf, and you have a dinner, but Yontif you have to have Shleimis. So why shouldn't you say, so why do you have to go Dafka to this one? You
no, should say, you the other Tom. But we pass in like all of them. We pass in Animal of Ram Habim, we also pass in Lecha Moini, the Prusa. We pass in that too.
You have both of the dinner. If you have Shleimis, a dinner of Shleimis by Yontif, so you shouldn't issue.
No, so that's the Shaila. That's the Machlekes that Tosfos has. On the one hand, we have a dinner every Shabbos and Yontif. The Suda has to consist of two Shleimis. And on Pesach night, the Torah says that the mitzvah matzah should be prusa. So the shahad is, what is the relationship, if any, between the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of suras yontif? Does the Torah mean to say that on Pesach night, the suras yontif should consist of matzah? So then the Torah is telling me that you should not have lecha mishnah tonight, you should not have two shleimis, you should have davke prusa for the suras yontif. Or perhaps the other Rishayim say, no, perhaps I should say that these are two separate mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah to have suras yontif, which always is supposed to consist of two shleimis. There's another unrelated mitzvah to have matzah on Pesach night. Not necessarily part of the Suras Yontif. Separate. So for the mitzvah of matzah, the Torah says you should have a prusa. For the mitzvah of suda, which is a separate unrelated mitzvah, you have to have lecha mishnah. So the mamela comes out, you have to have 2.5 matzahs. That's the machlekes in the Rishon. This is the chumrah that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, a big chumrah that when you say hamotzi in al achilas matzah, you should right away eat 2 kizaisim of matzah. Why do you have to eat 2 kizaisim of matzah? So on the Shulchan Aruch, they explain, number one, there's a machlokes now when you say the hamotzi na lachilas matzah, whether you should eat a kizais from the prusa or kizais from the shleimah. So you eat a little bit from the prusa, a little bit from the shleimah. So that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Everybody should have a little bit from the broken matzah and a little bit from the shleimah. But why do you have to have a kizais from the prusa and a kizais from the shleimah? What do you have to have 2 kizaisim for? It's not enough with 1 kizais. So you have to take additional matzahs. Right? You have to have additional matzahs. Everybody should have a little bit, at least a little bit from the shleimo to be yotze lecha mishnah, and then everybody should have a little bit from the prusa to be yotze chatz dinat madarke shalal of the prusa, and then the rest of the kezayis or the rest of the two kezayim, if they want to be mapping for the two kezayim, they should be mashlim with other shmura matzah that they have. So the Mishnah Brura points out he doesn't understand why should you have to have dafke in 2 kizaisim. So he quotes that he thinks that this is a minority opinion. That when you say hamotzi al achilas matzah, you have to have 2 kizaisim. Even though the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, he thinks this is only the Rosh and another Rishon, and most of the Rishonim don't quote this. That you have to have dafke 2 kizaisim. What is it based on? Why should these Rishonim insist you have to have dafke 2 kizaisim? So the Rosh seems to hold because these are two different mitzvahs. You have to have a kizais pass on Pesach like on every Yontif because of the mitzvah of Suras Yontif. And then you have to have a Kazayis Matzah because of the mitzvah of Matzah. And the mitzvah of Matzah and the mitzvah of Suras Yontif are unrelated. It's not that the mitzvah is that tonight I should fulfill the mitzvah of Suras Yontif by having a Matzah Prusa. No, these are two separate mitzvahs. For Haraya, that's the way we follow. We have two Shleimis in addition to the Prusa. You have the two Shleimis for the mitzvah of Suras Yontif. Then we have the Prusa for the mitzvah of Matzah. We assume that they're unrelated, two separate unrelated mitzvahs. So that's why the Rosh and one other Rishon quoted by the Shulchan Aruch say that the proper thing is that the person should have two kizaisim. When he says Hamoitzi al achilas matzah, should have two kizaisim to fulfill on one kizais the mitzvah of Sulas Yontif, and to eat the other kizais to fulfill the mitzvah of kizais matzah.
On Shabbos Suda, when you take a piece of cow, you have to eat kizais of a cow?
The Pashto says you have to have more than kizais. You have to have either kibetza or yosim kibetza. Taisa says you don't fulfill the Sulas Yontif unless you have yosim kibetza. Taisa has arrived from a Mishnah Sukkah. But there's one opinion that it's enough with the kazai. So for Pesach night and Leikol, if one wants to be machmir on Pesach night, so he should be required to have, when he says Hamotzi al achilas matzah, he should have yosim kibetza of one matzah and then have a kazai of the other matzah. That's a lot. So the Shulchan Aruch is Leikol for us. It says that it's enough if you have, when you first say Hamotzi al achilas matzah, you have two kazais, one kazai for the Suda and one kazai for the mitzvah matzah.
Right.
I mean, so in other words,
you're going to still eat. Well, I mean, at present day you measure it. You have three kazaisim. Let's assume you don't have bigger kazaisim. Let's assume all the kazaisim are the same size. Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about two sizes kazaisim. That's an invention from the Nodav Yehudit.
That with respect to Din of Deraisa, you have to have all the shiurim multiplied. Everything has to be twice as big. But let's assume without the Nodav Yehudit, before the Nodav Yehudit, days of the Mechaber, days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have double shiurim. A kazais deraisa was the same as a kazais derabban. In the OU pamphlet, they write that it's one third of a machine mass. A third and a half. Yeah. Kazais is an olive. An olive is not so big.
The idea that the shirim got smaller, is that from the times of the Shulchan Aruch?
Now they got smaller? No, the Nodav Yehudit writes in a Sefer on Psochim. He wrote a Sefer Tzion L'Nefesh Chai. It's called the Tzlach. Rosh Tev is called the Tzlach. So at the end of Psochim, the Gemara tells you how much is the revius. So the Gemara says the volume of an egg and a half with the shell. The volume of an egg and a half with the shell is a revius of a mashka. Then the Gemara says that has to be a beitza benyamis, an average egg, not a large size egg, an average size egg, a beitza benyamis. So then the Gemara says, how do you figure this out with your fingers? How much would it be volume like this? So the Gemara gives you the measurement of a mikveh. A mikveh is 40 saw. And then the Gemara gives you the relationship between the saw and the revius. Okay, just multiply. It's so much more. And then the Gemara gives you how big the mikveh is. Amo alama berum gimel amos. It's 3 cubic amos. So then the Nodav Yehudit made the calculation based on his thumbs about how big the mikveh should be. And he figured out based on the egg and a half, and it didn't coincide. It didn't correspond. So the problem was that the shear based on his fingers came out to be much bigger than the shear based on the eggs. So this led him to the conclusion that the beitzim got smaller, b'zmanazah. That the skatim are shiurim, and they're half the size that they used to be.
From the Gemara's time.
From the days of the Gemara.
Because I saw in one of the Koshi, that said in the name of a question, or another person, he said, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they got yet smaller. Which, I don't know, it seems so strange, the eggs got smaller.
That's the Chiddush of the Nodav Yehudit. The Nodav Yehudit told the Rabbi to his Talmidim. So one of the Talmidim commented that Nodav Yehudit was apparently a tall person. He was very big, very bony,
big fingers.
So the Talmud said the Rebbe is on Adam Gadol. So that's why the fingers came out to be so big. By an average person, it would stim, there wouldn't be any kasha. So the Nodav Yehudit chuckled. So there's a machlokes acharei b'pshat in the chocolate. the stipler has a whole sefer on this. The Chazanish's brother-in-law has a whole sefer that's called Shiurim Shel Torah, where he discusses what is the size of the kazais, what's the size of the viz, and what's the size of the ritzus or tefillin and so on. So he writes and he documents the whole story from acharei. The Nodav Yehudit chuckled when the tshuva meyavah. That was the Talmud that said the Rebbe's an Adam Gadol. That's why the fingers came out bigger. The eggs are really the normal size, and the people are the same size also. But you have bigger fingers than normal people. And then you hear the laugh, so there's a machlag zachon, what the laugh meant. Well, the laugh meant that it's a good joke, But even then, he holds that his cheshbon was correct, and you still have to double the shir. No, he chuckled and he was masking that his fingers were taka bigger, and he had charata from what he wrote in Mitzlach. So that's a machlekes achronim. The people who were there, the talmidim of the Nevi Yehuda who were there, had a machlekes what pshat and the chuckle was. But he had charata from what he wrote in Mitzlach. But the ma'aseh, many achronim disagree with Mitzlach. They say that it's not true that it's kachum hashiur. Many achronim disagree. They say the shiurim are always the same. As Rabbi Chana Vassman quotes the Tshuvas HaGoyim, the Goyim say, why did the Torah give the shiurim in beitzim, in kezeisim? Why don't they give in ounces, inches, and other things? So the Goyim write in the Tshuva, the Rabbanu Shalom gave the shiurim in beitzim and zeisim, things that are standard that will never change. If the Rabbanu Shalom give in ounces, or in pounds, or in inches, or in miles, so every country is going to change, going to be a different system. But the eggs are the same, from Sheshis may gracious, and the Zaysim are the same. So that's what the Goinim, that's what Rabbi Chana Vassman quotes from the Tshuvas HaGoinim that was printed in his days. You see that they hold not like the Tzlach. And the many Achreinim disagree with the Tzlach. That's a shadow what the Mukhiv to be Nachman for the Tzlach's Chumra, that everything should be twice as big.
Is the Chiv Matzah in the Raisin both nights?
No. The second night of Pesach is only in the Rabbonah. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golis is only
the first night.
Right, only the first night. The whole Seder on the second night is only in the Rabbonah. The Baal HaMor in the end of Sochim states clearly that just like on all the 7 days of Sukkot, there is a Chiyav Min HaTorah to eat Sukkah every day. And in fact, you say, Brocha Leishvah Sukkah is a mitzvah. If you don't want to eat, let's say you just want to have bananas and oranges and whatever, then you can do all of your eating chutz to Sukkah. But if you want to have a sandwich, if you want to have an achila b'kliyus, then you're obligated in the to eat it in the sukkah. So the Baal HaMor says the same is true on Pesach regarding matzah. On the first night of Pesach, whether you want to eat or you don't want to eat, you're obligated to eat a gezeis matzah. And the rest of Pesach, if you want to eat bread, if you want to eat, then it's takna mitzvah min ha-Torah to eat matzah. So that's why he asks the kasha, why don't we say the bracha al achilas matzah all 7 days of Pesach? He holds that it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah, just like you say al achilas leisha basukkah all 7 days. Why don't you say Alachidos Matzah all 7 days? So he gives the whole Teretz one. In fact, in Europe there was some Hasidim, there was one Hasidish Rebbe, who told his Hasidim that they should say Bracha all 7 days of Pesach, Alachidos Matzah. So the Svarim attacked him. The Snechemet quotes it, and other poskim came around 80 years ago, 90 years ago. They all attacked this Hasidish Rebbe. They said Hasidus he has, and because he has, but learning he doesn't have. And they all said it's against all the Rishonim. The Rishonim said you don't say Bracha all 7 days. Right, that's what they quote that pasuk is taka mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, but you still don't say a bracha. That's the Baal HaMor's kasha. Why not?
But there's a chilek. It's a chilek. Even if you don't eat bread on Sukkot, but if you eat in the Sukkot, you eat in the Sukkot. Even if you eat Sukkot,
you have a mitzvah.
You have a mitzvah. And you make a bracha. You make a bracha on Sukkot.
So that's what the Baal HaMor asks. Why not say the same on Pesach? The first night of Pesach, you're obligated to have matzah whether you want to or not.
Not the same.
That's what he tines. But the rest of Sukkah, the rest of Pesach, says you're not obligated to have matzah. But if you have it, you have a kima mitzvah. He says. So that's why he asked the kasha. Why don't you say a bracha?
Sukkah is eaten in the Sukkah. Here's an
answer. But eat the matzah.
You don't have to eat bananas in the Sukkah. What if I go and eat the bananas in the Sukkah? Right. So I have to make a leish for Sukkah. Not because I'm eating bananas, because I'm sitting in the sukkah.
Sitting in the sukkah.
So here, if I don't have to eat matzah, and if I eat bananas on Pesach, I can't get make a chilas matzah.
On bananas, not. But if you eat matzah, the rest of the 7 days.
You don't have to eat matzah.
But if you do,
but sukkah, even if you don't eat any bread, you eat the sukkah, you have to make a sukkah in the chayah.
Because you're eating in the sukkah, yeshiva the sukkah. So if you're eating matzah, you should say it.
Why don't you say it plus matzah the 7 days, every day?
That's the Baal HaMor's kasha. The Baal HaMor's kasha. He kvetches ois ha-teretz. Baal HaMor gives a teretz. But you see from this whole discussion that he holds that there is a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days. He holds there is a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, you don't say a bracha.
The
pasuk.
The sukkah is a regular every day. You figure different kabbalas, you say how halal, and all the things that go on. So maybe there's a reason to say leish v'sukkah. But Pesach is considered one yantif, one day straight through.
But you say leish v'sukkah twice on the same day of sukkah also. You say five times leish v'sukkah on the same day also. Maybe. Maybe it has to do with the teretz. Baal HaMor doesn't say that svar has anything to do with teretz. It gives a different teretz.
The teretz guy is the matzah of the chos, and the rest is rishus. If the teretz guy is a chos, why is there a topic when to make the achilas matzah?
mitzvah should go out to the tzemach. And as soon as I have the opportunity of making the achilas matzah, I should do it. Why is this difficult?
You mean we say the bracha, yeah?
No, we say it, but you mentioned the question.
The matzah, the Rashbam says at the end of the meal.
Yeah.
Well, the Rashbam says, right, because of that consideration that the Korban Pesach had to be nechal at the end of the meal, ala sova. So we want to fulfill the matzah also dafke at the end of the meal at the same time. We taka don't follow the Rashbam. We follow Tosis that the afikomen at the end is purely for the sake of zechal pesach. It's not the rice here.
You talked about everything on the kayak. Where's the chazeres?
The chazeres just means that you have two morers. That's all. You have one morer for the kriecha and one morer for the morer. It's no secret.
It's the same mor.
Same mor. You can have the same mor. It's not a halacha.
Either one.
In fact, the Mishnah lists off there are five kinds of vegetables that any one of these five kinds of vegetables can use for the mitzvah of morer. The Mishnah on Lamed Testament Aleph says, "Veili yirokas shadam yetz v'emdech habasu b'pesach." The first is chazeres. Next is tamcha. Karchavina, Ulshin, and Moror. So the Yerushalmi says, what is Chazeres? Chazeres is salat. That means romaine lettuce. And some poskim say that huadinami, regular lettuce. That's a shadow. But the dafka romaine lettuce, because Vana Mishneh, and that section of the world, they didn't have regular lettuce. The only lettuce they had was romaine lettuce. So that's a shadow. Maybe the Mishneh is not referring to romaine lettuce. Maybe regular lettuce is not good. And the next one, Tamcho, is usually the poskim say that Tamcho is Charein. So the Yerushalmi comments on that Mishneh, that the Mishnah put these in order, that Kol HaKodem is a mitzvah, it's a greater mitzvah. So the Shlomo says it's a bigger mitzvah to use chazeres than to use horseradish. People always think fakir, the horseradish is more bitter. So the Shlomo says no, that the first one mentioned in the Mishnah is a bigger mitzvah. And if you don't have romaine, if you don't have lettuce, then you use horseradish. If you don't have tamcha, then you use charchavino, whatever they are. So the Shlomo asked the kasha, but how can you be yotzi morer with the romaine lettuce if it's not bitter? It doesn't taste bitter at all. So the Yishami answers no. If you were to leave it in the ground longer and not cut it out right away, then it would become very, very bitter. So therefore what? So the Chazanish says, therefore, if you left it in the ground and it became bitter, then it's good for Mar. But if the Chazanish Tainis, but the way we cut it off in the ground before it becomes bitter. So the Chazanish Tainis that we're not Yetzi Mar. He says that the Yishami said that you're only Yetzi Mar, if you left it in the ground, it became bitter. All the other poskim before and after the Chazanish learned Pshat and Yerushalmi Natsar. That it means that's Koveya the Min. That if you would leave it in the ground longer, it would become very, very bitter. So that's Koveya. This is enough to determine that romaine lettuce is a Min of Morar. So therefore, you don't have to wait to leave it in the ground longer. You can cut it out at a time that it tastes very sweet and pleasant. And that's considered eating of Morar. Right, that's how we assume. And in fact, we assume that that's Kodem. That Chazeres is Kodem to Tamcha. It's a bigger mitzvah to use romaine lettuce than to use horseradish.
In fact, I'm very careful with the romaine lettuce because it's got a lot of worms.
Because of the worms, you have to remove all the worms.
What if you wash it?
In Shulchan Aruch, they point out that a lot of times the women make a mistake that when they wash the lettuce in order to take off the worms, sometimes they soak it 24 hours in water. In order that they should get all the bugs to float to the top. So the poskim point out later Achrenim. Point out that they came to the realization that noticing that the women are soaking it, so they say that passes it because of the din of kovish kemevushal. That if you soak a vegetable for 24 hours, the Gemara considers it mevushal, and if it's a vegetable, it's mevushal, so it's possible for the mitzvah. So let's say you won't soak it for 24 hours, you soak it just for a half an hour, but you soak it in vinegar, in order so that the vinegar should take out all the worms. So then Rashi Sheet, the Gemara, Shochanoch says that if you soak in kovish b'chaymitz of itzir, if you soak in vinegar, even if it just soaked for 6 minutes, it already makes it kovish kemevushal. If you soak in water, then it makes it kovish kemevushal only 24 hours. But if you soak it in vinegar, then we're machin that it makes it kovish kemevushal even in 6 minutes. So you should be careful about that. There are different opinions. Rashi Sheet is that you only say kovish kemevushal if it's soaking 24 hours in vinegar. Soaking in water for a year is not kovish kemevushal. Soaking in vinegar for a few minutes is not. And we don't pass like that. We're machmer in Yeruday. That kovish in water is kovish kemevushal 24 hours. And kovish b'chaymish of itzir, kovish in vinegar, or something else that's sharp, makes kovish kemevushal in some pass can say 18 minutes, others may, 8 minutes, others say 6 minutes. I'm going to say 6 minutes, I think. 6 minutes makes it kovish kemevushal. So the Pashto says that you should be machmer, you should be makbir about that, to make sure that the morer is not soaked either in water for more than 24 hours or should not be soaked in vinegar even for 6 minutes.
But the worms aren't trade. They grow
in if they developed inside, they're not trade, but if they came in from the outside and then they set in, then they will be trade.
But we assume they came from the outside. Because that's why we make the whole thing, the wash and the
sea. I think the Chazon Ish used the horseradish. Horseradish is a famous machlokes between the Chavis Das and everybody else. The Nesiv is put out of Haggadah, that's called Maisa Nisim. Famous Haggadah that's printed in the Derech HaChaim today. He wrote the Derech HaChaim, he wrote the Dinim in the Derech HaChaim by the Nesiv. So he wrote a Pirush on the Haggadah that's called Maisa Nisim. That's the Haggadah that Rav Soloveitchik used to use very, very much. He used to say over a lot of the Biurim from the Maisa Nisim Haggadah. Has a lot of very famous vetlach. So the Nesivus writes in his Haggadah Chiddush Ledina. Just like the Gemara says that if the Maror is cooked, so you're not yotze the mitzvah. And the Poskim Machmor also, if it's soaked, if it's kavush mulush, so you're not yotze the mitzvah. Why? So the Gemara says because it's nishtane mitchilas b'liyosa. So it no longer retains its original state. When you cook something, so it loses its original status, and it's considered a panim chadash as ba'ol hakatzi. He comes up with a chiddush that huadinami, let's say if you have apples and you grind them up completely till you make it into applesauce. So many poskim say that you say shahakol, that you no longer say burpi, it's a burpi adam, you say shahakol. And let's say you have potatoes and you completely liquefy them till it's mamish, you don't have any chunks at all. So if the no krusis nikoros at all, no chunks at all, then many poskim say that you say shahakol on them. It's based on Rashba, based on a Rashi and Brachos, that you say shahakol. So the Derech HaChaim has this chiddush that if you take the horseradish and you liquefy it the way we do, you grind it up to the tiny little particles, then it's called nishtana metchilas b'riyosai. So he tells that it wouldn't be yotze, just like you're not yotze with cooked horseradish. The same sugi in brachis puts these two together, that if you cook vegetables or you grind them up to tiny particles, it should be considered a panim chadash is bolakam, and it shouldn't retain its original status, and it should be no good for the mitzvah of mort. And all of the other poskim before him and after him disagreed, and they said it's wrong. What bracha do you say, let's say, on cooked potatoes? Avari said barpi adoma. Why? On a cooked apple, you wouldn't say barpi adoma. You would say shahakol. Because potatoes are normally eaten, only cooked. Behemoths eat raw potatoes. But most people, most people...